Good morning. Thanks for joining us. It's Father's Day 2022. We're going to look at a number of things from Scripture that have to do with God as the Heavenly Father. And I think you're going to enjoy it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't enjoy it, but you'll get to decide that for yourself. Hey, I do want to mention to you that starting a week from Wednesday, we're going to gather here at 6 p.m., have dinner and a service. So at 6, we'll eat. And at 7 o'clock, we're going to be covering the video series by Max Lucado, You Were Made for This Moment. It's a study of the book of Esther. I read the book. It was great. Max just has some really good stuff. Going to quote him later today as well. So I hope you can join us for that. So here's the question I want to put out there for you. Is everyone a child of God? Sometimes people say that we're all God's children. We're going to take a look at what Scripture has to say about it. And this is Father's Day. So we're really going to delve into that question about what does that mean? And where does this whole idea of Him being our Father, where does it come from and who does it apply to? Let's pray before we take a look at God's Word together. Lord, I pray that You'd speak to us from Your Word. I pray that You'd communicate powerfully by Your Spirit, far beyond the words that I say. Lord, I pray that questions would be answered today. Father, I pray that someone who hears this message, whenever they hear it, that they would enter Your kingdom. I pray it in Your name for Your glory. Amen.
Before He spoke creation, the God of heaven knew our names. Formed in His reflection, we are His glory on display. And His heart is good. Is always kind. With the cross He proved He is on our side. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God. No matter where we go, we're close to the Father's heart. And though we stumble, He will not let us fall. We are the Lord's and He will never forsake His own. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God. His love He lavished on us and calls us children of the King. And in His loving kindness, He chose the lowly and the weak. And His heart is good. Is always kind. With the cross He proved He is on our side. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God. No matter where we go, we're close to the Father's heart. Though we stumble, He will not let us fall. We are the Lord's and He will never forsake His own. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God. When the lies speak louder than the truth, remind me I belong to You. When I can't see past the dark of night, remind me You're always by my side. when the lies speak louder than the truth. Remind me I belong to you. When I can't see past the dark of night, remind me you're always by my side. You're by my side. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God. No matter where we go, we're close to the Father's heart. And though we stumble, He will not let us fall. The Lord's, and He will never forsake His own. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God.
So, I want to start off with an attempted humor. Yeah, because so there's this guy at our church. We'll say his name is Mike because that is his name. And he always says the Joel Osteen starts with a joke. So I've got a couple here for you. So I spoke somewhere this past week. It was at Christ Church. And afterwards there was a lunch. I sat down with these people. They're very nice. And they were concerned about my hand. And so I'll give you a little update on my hand here. And so she asked me, this one woman, very nice. And been so kind all 6 weeks that I was over there. But she said, so where did you have your surgery? And I said, on my hand. She invited the person next to me to hit me. He didn't hit me, but just can't pass up that. But anyway, it was at a surgical center on Pasquinelli. In case you're wondering, I have a friend. Her name is Mary Martha Dabb. She passed away a number of years ago. Knew her from Missions Outreach, and she was a missionary. Wonderful person. She had cerebral palsy, and she had some great lines. And one of my favorite by her was, she said, I don't know why. She said, I don't know why they call it a handicap. She says, there's nothing handy about it. I've always liked that line. And I would concur that there is nothing handy about this, but many of you have asked. I know people are praying. And Monday this week, I'm supposed to get the splint off and supposed to get the pins out. Had an x-ray this last week, and they said it looked great. So, and thank you again for praying. And it really has not been an issue with pain or anything. So back to that question, is everybody a child of God? So let's take a look at the book. In Genesis chapter 1, Scripture makes it very clear that all people were created in the image of God. Genesis chapter 3 makes it very clear that something went very, very wrong. And I don't have to look very far. I sometimes just need to look at the mirror or remember what I did yesterday and realize I may be creating the image of God, but there's something that's wrong with me. G.K. Chesterton, there was this debate in the newspaper about what was wrong with the world. He wrote in and said, I am wrong with the world. And I get that. That resonates with me. But in the New Testament, the Apostle John answers this question for us. In John chapter 3, verse 16, John 3:16, like everybody knows that, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What does only begotten mean? It means that Jesus is the only child by nature of the Heavenly Father. So that sort of answers the question that we're not children. Oh, but we'll get to that. Do you remember, was it a creed? It was something we used to say at church when I was a kid. God from God, light from light, true God from true God. Which, that's Jesus. That's not me. I'm not true God from true God. I'm a human being. But it gets better as we go along. I think you'll see that. So we're not God's offspring, but we're made in His image. But something really went wrong in the Garden of Eden. And like I said, you don't have to look too far to figure that out. Or you just have to watch the news. So, is there any way I can be included in God's family? I mean, think about it, though. So is there some way I could persuade God? Maybe I could go to church all the time. No. I could give all my money to the poor. Then I could be in God's... No. I could live a perfect life. I can't do that. But even if I could, that wouldn't get me into God's family. So in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, to all who believed Him, meaning Jesus, and accepted Him, Jesus, He gave the right to become children of God. Did you catch that? Did you catch what that says? That's incredible news. We get adopted into God's family. Could there be better news? I mean, think about it. You're in God's family. We're going to cover that, what that means. So, not everybody is naturally born into God's family, but there's a way in, and we're going to take a look at that. So how much does it cost, you might think? I mean, you'd think that it would cost quite a bit. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't cost a dime. You can't purchase it. You can't get it at Amazon or Walmart. You get what I'm saying. How about paperwork for the adoption? This adoption? No, there's no paperwork. Have you ever tried to adopt a child? I haven't, but I've talked to people who have. Do you have any idea how much it costs? Lots. Lots and lots. Definitely 3 zeros, maybe 4 zeros. I don't know. It's a lot of money. Do you think there's paperwork involved? Yeah, tons. Tons. Let's go back to John chapter 1, verse 12. It says to all, not some, to all. This is available to every human being on planet Earth. But the choice is ours. So it's not for a few. It's not, okay, good-looking people, rich people. Doesn't say that. To all. So what do these all have to do? What do we have to do? Act like Jesus? No, doesn't say that. The Bible couldn't be more clear. To all who believed him and accepted him. To all who believed him and accepted him. That's crazy good news. Is that possible? It is possible because the Bible says it. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 chapter 1 verses 3 through 5. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. So you already have access to every spiritual blessing. Now you might say, I don't really feel like I've got them. Sometimes we've got to grab a hold of them. It says in the heavenly realms. Sometimes we've got to say, God, I need that peace today. I need that joy today. God, I need your grace today, more than the air that I breathe. So every spiritual blessing. But let's read on here. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. Before he made the world, God loved you and chose you in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Verse 5, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Why did he do this? This is what he wanted to do. He wanted to do it, and it gave him great pleasure. You talk about good news. This is amazing. Before the world was created, he loved us. He chose us, and he decided in advance to adopt us. Why would he do this? Why in the world would he do this? And he says right there, it's because he wanted to, and it gave him great pleasure. You know, some people are givers, and when people are givers, they want to give. And I picked up some things from Max Lucado that I was reading this past week. And he points out the truth is that an adopted child is always a chosen child. There's never an accidental adoption. You don't go home one day, whoops, oh, how'd you get here? Oh, you just accidentally adopted me today. No, you can't accidentally adopt someone. Now, I know some people. I was just with some people recently, and they kind of gave me the whole family history, each sibling and the circumstances behind, including the second to last child, which was whoops. I know somebody who's about to have a whoops real soon. They weren't planning it. They weren't planning it in any way, shape, or form. But an adoption, you can't not plan it. It takes a lot of planning. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of planning if you're going to adopt someone. Max tells a story about when he was born. It was like 4 years before I was born. His dad's name is Jack, and he just kind of pictures the doctor handing Max to Jack and just goes, here's your son, Max. And Jack's kind of like, whoops, can we get a mulligan here, doctor? Could we trade this one for another one? Or can we just leave Max here? Now, at the hospital, they make you take the baby home. There's no exit option. Now, I do sometimes when I'm saying goodbye to people here at church, I remind them to come downstairs and take their children home, because every once in a while, people just leave their kids here all week, and I'm kidding. Nobody's ever done that. People have forgotten children, but not for the whole week. But can you imagine? You know, maybe Jack Lucado is just kind of like, this wasn't what I was expecting. I was expecting a better looking kid. This kid doesn't look like he's got much brains or anything. I'm just quoting Max here. I thought it was a pretty good argument there. The hospital makes you take your kids home. My parents took me home, and then they never had another child. There's all sorts of implications with that, but we're just going to move along on that. So whether we're adopted or we had biological parents, many of us could say that if our parents could have seen the rest of our lives, well, that might be a different story. If they could have seen some of the bad decisions that we would make, it might be like, let's go with the mulligan here. Let's rewrite that. Did you catch what Ephesians chapter 1 says? Before planet Earth existed, God chose you. He knew exactly how your life was going to go, and He chose you anyway. Let that sink in. I read something along those lines this past week, and it just kind of floored me. I was at a doctor's appointment. It seems like I'm often at doctor's appointments, and I brought something to read along. And that truth just kind of settled in. And do you know what else I believe about that? That when I realized that God chose me, knowing full well the mistakes that I would make, the bad choices that I would make, do you know what that causes me to want to do? To make better choices, to not make the bad decisions. That's exactly what it causes me to want to do. And it also says that God knows how my story is going to end, and that helps me to move towards concluding my story in the best fashion possible. But long before planet Earth existed, God knew your story from birth to hearse. He knew it all, and He adopted you anyway. Let the truth of that sink in. He saw your entire life in advance. Do you know what I think God said? I got to have this one. And there's some people today, you really need to grab a hold of that. I know that on a daily basis, do I think this way? Usually not. I don't. Do I need to think this way more? Yes, I do. Your picture is on God's fridge, if you know what I'm saying. So this whole deal, it's free for us. But it was not free for your Heavenly Father. And it wasn't free for Jesus. It was very costly. First, He created the entire universe. Now, I know that, you know, the universe doesn't revolve around me, but you can read the Bible from cover to cover, and you cannot come to any other conclusion that God created the world that we live in, not just the planet, but the universe, so that we could enjoy it. Because He's a giver. He didn't send us a bill. There's no, I'm going to a concert, you know, and I got the cheap seat, the general admission is $44. Not too bad. The service fee is $16. What? Why would there be a service fee of $16? Why don't you just tell me it's $60 up front? Oh, there's more fees we got to add on after that. You ever take a look at like your cell phone bill? Just try to figure out what some of those fees are. It's incomprehensible. God didn't give us any of those things. He says, this is the universe. Enjoy it. I mean, that's the way I feel about the national parks. I'm going to get to go to 3 national parks this summer, 2 in Texas, 1 in New Mexico. I've never seen before. Just so excited about that. And why did God create all this beautiful stuff? I saw a birthday card this week. It just said, that, and God created, and it names a few of the things in Genesis chapter 1. And He said it was good. You know what? He was right. It's very good. What God created is beautiful. And I challenge you, is there any other reason that He created it other than that He loves us and He wants us to enjoy it? That's what I would call a common grace. He gave it to everyone without a fee. There's no charge. And we can take in as much as we want. So it wasn't free. He created the universe. I'm not saying it cost Him money, but it took time and energy and creativity beyond anything that we can imagine. And then Jesus comes to earth and He dies in our place. You could never ask Him to do that, but He did that for us so that we might be part of the family. Very costly for Him and His Father. And then 2,000 years ago, Jesus takes a flyer and He says, you know what? You see this universe here? Well, I'm going to create a new home for us, my Father's house. Do you think it's going to be a nice place? I mean, because if it's not, we're going to be like, oh man, I wish I could go back to Earth. They had national parks and all kinds of cool things, and now I'm just kind of stuck here. I don't think so. I don't think anybody's going to want to go back when we get there. It's going to be an incredible place. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Romans 8, 14 through 17. And this whole idea that we're God's children, it's throughout the New Testament that we can be adopted into His family. He talks about it in Galatians, talks about it in Ephesians, talks about it in Romans. Think about how Jesus taught His disciples to pray, "Our Father." I mean, if you think about it, Jesus could pray it too, because He's our big brother. It's amazing. So Romans chapter 8, verse 14. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, sons and daughters of God." Verse 15, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father," which means like daddy, father. "For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs." Oh, think about that. We'll talk about it. "In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory." That's amazing. "But if we are to share His glory, we must also share in His suffering." So a few thoughts on here. I haven't used this story for a while. But we don't have to fear being rejected by God. Now, maybe some of you were rejected by your parents at some point. Maybe it was temporary, maybe it was permanent. And maybe for you, that's a very painful thing. And my apologies on that, and I'm sure that this is a difficult day if your earthly father rejected you. But I think of my dad. I'm going to tell a few stories that include my dad. When I was about 4 years old, my brother Rick and I, and he was six, we started a club. And I think we had another friend down the street that was in the club. And to join the club, we had to make wee-wee into, we had a little honey bear. It was kind of like the right color, if you know those bears that clear with the golden honey in there. Yeah. So, well, where do you put something like that? We were going to build a fort, but we didn't have one, so we stored it in the garage. And this one morning before my dad went to work, and my dad would wear a suit and a tie, and he showered every morning, shaved every morning, he had his aftershave on. He was just impeccably clean and neat and tidy. And he was ready to go to work, and he's holding the honey bear in his hand. And somehow he knew to come to me and Rick that, what's this honey bear doing in the garage? And you know, at 4 years old, you just don't have the wherewithal to just say, "Dad, put that down right now. You don't want to mess with it." And we just had to stand there and watch as he sprayed it in his hand. And it's like, this is not going to, Rick and I are like, this is not going to bode well for us. My dad goes to work that day, and we were picking weeds that day. Whenever we did something wrong, it was picking weeds, or my dad sometimes would trim the bushes, and then we got to go out and pick up those little prickly things and stuff. Really loved doing that when I was 4 or 6 years old. But I had lots of reason to do it, like something stupid like this. But I'm sure my dad went to work that day, and he's like, "You know, I work hard. I've got a house. It's got 2.5 bathrooms. And my boys pee in this little plastic bottle. What's wrong with my boys?" And so that night he came home and he said, "You're not my boys anymore. I'm not your dad. Hit the bricks, you know, do the hobo thing, get a stick with a kerchief, and you're out on your own." No, my dad didn't do that. Why? Because we're his sons. There's a permanence that goes along with being a son. And that's what Jesus said. He said, so we don't have to fall back into fear. You don't have to fear that God's going to reject you. We might do stupid things, might make bad decisions, okay? But God doesn't reject us. In John chapter 8, verse 35, Jesus is talking with a crowd of people, and he says, a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. You're part of the family forever. Do you do stupid things? Sometimes yes. Jesus went to the cross for the stupid things that we did. I love that. And because God is our Father, there's a closeness that we can have that we couldn't have otherwise. That's what it means when it says that we can call Him Abba Father, which means it's like calling Him Daddy. My sister used to call my dad Daddy. I called him Dad. And sometimes I called him Colonel, and sometimes I called him El Presidente. So when John F. Kennedy Jr. was a little boy, his dad was President of the United States. And there's a classic picture of JFK Sr. just talking with all these important men in the Oval Office. And Junior is just crawling around on the floor. Now, people call him John John. It was a misunderstanding by the media. His father never called him John John. But I don't know if he stuttered one time. But anyway, people thought his nickname was John John. But you know who I mean, JFK Jr. Well, he's the most powerful man in the world. And it doesn't change that. I'm not saying that Junior didn't respect him, but he's just playing underneath his desk, playing at his feet. Why? Because to him, he's dad. He's dad. He just isn't worried about it because it's dad. Now, this fear thing kind of ties in with this too. So I remember this one time, my dad had come home from work and he had asked us to sign something or to agree. And we all were kind of cute and signed different things on there. We were just following the lead of our older siblings, but they weren't home. So Rick and I are in bed and my dad barks out, front and center. Rick and I were in bed and we didn't usually wear PJs, so we've just got our whitey tighties on and we come scrambling down the stairs and just standing in front of him, pretty intimidating. And he looks at it and he says, not funny, and his voice cracks. Rick and I did not laugh in front of him. We did not laugh in front of him. We wanted to, because it was funny. It was very funny. I mean, he's being so stern, but his voice just totally cracked. And so finally he dismissed us, and we knew we should never do that again. We went upstairs. We literally buried our faces in our pillows, and we just cracked up. But do you know what's funny about it is that Heidi remembers that, like, she remembers my dad, and she's like, how were you ever intimidated by him? Because he used to be a whole lot more stern in when we were being raised, when we were doing silly things, things we shouldn't be doing. But by the end of his life, it was a whole nother story. To this day, it's like she can't figure out, how could you ever be like intimidated by him? And it's like, oh, trust me, you could. Like when he's saying front and center. But you know what's so funny is the years went by. And I think Rick and I were always respectful of my dad. But we could joke with him and say things like, not funny, in front of him. You got a kick out of it. My dad was a great sport. And one of the other things, my dad could not, there's one word he couldn't say. He could not pronounce the word clothed properly. And sometimes you could get him to try for like a half hour. And we'd be crying laughing. And he'd think he'd get it, but it would come out more like clothed. And then he'd go clothed. He could not say clothed, but he was a good sport. I think about that. We laughed with my dad all the time. I loved making my dad laugh. I really enjoy making my brother Rick laugh because sometimes I know I can just say a couple of words like, not funny, in front of my brother. And he'll be like, oh, he, you know what it's like. He just got like inside jokes. I'm still trying to get Heidi to laugh and I'm confident someday I'll get her to laugh, but I'm still working on that. You know what? Honestly, I was thinking about this. Do you think someday you can make your Heavenly Father laugh? Like, I know you can't surprise him with something, but he'd know the punchline that's coming. But I do. I think that God actually enjoys his creation. That's why he made us, to share life with us. This passage in Romans 8 says that he gives us his Holy Spirit that affirms that we're his children. It's an inside job. He dwells within us. I don't know if you've heard any of these ads. They've popped up on White Sox games, but they tell this story that you can totally identify with. Like there's this guy, these friends all hung out together and they went fishing together. They hung out at the beach together. They had meals. They did all kinds of stuff together. But then one guy had some money problems. And so he sold out like his buddy for 30 pieces of silver. Yeah, it's the story of Judas. And if you've ever been sold out by a friend and had something that was good that went bad, and then they could say, Jesus gets you. You know, your Heavenly Father gets you. And let me say this, that sometimes we're kind of like, can't wait to meet Jesus because I know he loves me and forgives me. But I know that the Father's really mad at me. No. No. The justice for whatever you have done wrong was taken care of at the cross. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's the same character. And I think we sometimes give the Father this bad rap. That isn't due him. He's a father that loves us. check that out. I think you can look it up. It's hegetsus.com. It's pretty cool. They're just trying to present who Jesus really is to people. How about the fact that you are an heir of God? That means that you're written into God's will. I remember years ago, my dad had a friend, and he was an accountant, and he didn't have any kids. He's married, and I found out that Rick and he liked me and Rick. I don't know why, but he liked us, and he put us in his will. Unfortunately, he went through a really bad divorce and didn't end up with any money in the end. Otherwise, we would have gotten something, but that's okay. But just the fact that he thought enough of us to put us in his will. I mean, why would he do that? Like, we couldn't ask him to do that. You can't ask God to give you everything that he has, but he wants to. I mean, how many of us as parents want to give things to our kids? And how many of would want to do it in the land of the living so you can see them enjoy that? It's a pretty cool thing. Someday we're going to inherit. And it says that we are heirs of his glory. I don't even fully know what that means, but it's awesome. It's obviously incredible. So one day we'll fully share in his glory, but now, for a short time, sometimes, we got to bite the bullet. Sometimes now, because we're associated with Jesus or our Heavenly Father or being a Christian, whatever it might be, that sometimes we get excluded. Maybe even some of us get persecuted. But maybe we have to suffer a little bit. But you know what? It's so stinking worth it. For what we will receive someday and the fact that God loves us. I want to close with what I think be a good Father's Day story, something I picked up from Max Lucado from his book, Facing the Giants. And I could identify with it. My first year in Little League, I was not really good. They would put me in the game when there was one out to go. We won the championship that year. I got a first place trophy. Not a participant trophy. I got a first place trophy. With two outs in the final inning, I would go jogging out into right field if it was an important game. I got to bat. I never got hit by a pitch. I didn't walk. I just made outs. That's all I did. Eventually, I became an all-star when I, you know, got older. But I wasn't very good. But Max Lucado tells a story about, it was 1967. He said, there's a lot of things he doesn't remember from them. Then, you know, there's a bunch of stuff he doesn't. But what he does remember was waiting for a phone call one night. See, they had tryouts. And so after you tried out, then whichever coach picked you, they would call you on the phone. And so it was dinner time, and he's hanging out in another room because that's where the phone was. How many of you remember that he didn't have a phone in your pocket and there was a phone on the wall? How many of you remember trying to have a private conversation? That was a whole other time, right? So he's waiting down the hallway. He's waiting for the call. He's waiting. He was focused on the phone. And you know the phone wasn't ringing. He really didn't care about much anything else. All he really wanted was a call from his Little League coach. He's sitting on his bed with his glove at his side. And he can hear his buddies playing in the street. And he doesn't care. All that matters is the phone ringing. And you know what? The phone didn't ring. The phone just didn't ring. And all he could think of was the next day at school when all the other kids are saying what team they're going to play for, he's got to say, yeah, I didn't get picked. That would really stink. So long after the hopes were gone that evening, I mean, it was getting late at night, and his glove was back in the closet, the doorbell rang. It was the coach. And the coach came in and said, you know, I apologize for this. One of the other assistant coaches was supposed to contact you and let you know you're on the team, and made him feel like he was like a first round draft pick. It was years later when Max found out the truth of what happened that night. His dad made a phone call to the coach, who he obviously knew, and the coach said, yeah, I'll take him. Didn't realize that he hadn't been picked by any team. He was the last kid that was picked, but he didn't know that for years. But I think about his dad. See, I think we wonder sometimes what God thinks of us. You know, if Max Lucado's dad, if Jack, would do that for Max, contact the coach doesn't just make a phone call, comes over to the house and makes his son feel special. If he would do that for his son, what do you think your Heavenly Father would do for you? Remember what Jesus said, if you, and compared to my dad, you guys are evil. If you know how to do nice things like that for your kids, how much more does your Heavenly Father want to give you good gifts? This Father's Day, rejoice, embrace, receive the love that your Father has for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the unthinkable, unspeakable gift that you've given to us by adopting us into your family. We want to say today that we love you. We thank you. And Lord, help us to act more and more like your children. Fill our hearts more and more with your love, and may we share that with other people. Father, I pray your blessing on every person who hears this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Child.
Thanks for joining us. I do want to wish all the dads a very happy Father's Day. And for those that are missing a dad today, may God bring you comfort and may you find what you're looking for through your Heavenly Father. God bless you.